is selecting out of all nations of men a people to bear His name today. And you find the turning point right here in this 13th chapter of the book of Matthew because of the rejection of Jesus as the King of the Jews by the Jews themselves. Now, let's explore a little bit of what it says here. First of all, let's note the new technique that Jesus used here in His teaching. Look at verse 3. "And He spake many things unto them in parables." Now, I'm going to startle some of you because you're not close enough students of the New Testament and you didn't have this in mind when you study, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you haven't seen it. Did you know that this is the first time Jesus ever spoke in parables? That's right. His teaching starts basically in chapter 4 in Matthew and all the way up through chapter 12. His teaching is immediate. It is direct. It is straightforward. Now, He uses illustration upon illustration. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're like a generation. You're like the children playing in the marketplace. But this is the very first time all of those other things are illustrations, similes, and metaphors. Here He speaks in parables, and there is an obvious point of new departure. Now, when did He begin to speak in parables? It was right at the tail end of a definite, growing, positive hostility of the Jewish leaders toward Jesus. And when they had arrived at a point when they simply said, "We could never believe in Him. We do not want this man to reign over Him. In fact, He is dangerous to us. Let's get together and see how we can get rid of Him." And Jesus constantly is telling them, "All right, you are finished." And in chapter 12, He even says, "I don't have a family anymore. Who are my mother and my brothers? I am turning from my family by race, and I am turning to the peoples of the world who will listen to me." So you have a point of new departure here when the hostility of the Jews had crystallized against Him. An absolutely new method in the teaching of Jesus was exploded on the scene of world history. Now, you have to understand the background here, just as you do in any parable Jesus spoke. And unless you understand the background, you'll not understand the meaning. Now, this is when He spoke in parables. Now, the second question I would ask is, why did He speak in parables? Now, the age-old answer is, He spoke in parables in order that people might understand the truth. That's half of the truth. He equally spoke in parables that those who did not want to understand or were prejudiced against Him and the way He presented the truth, or against the truth itself, that the truth would be hidden from them inside the stories, inside the parables. Now, that's why He spoke in parables. He spoke to reveal the truth to those who were hungry to receive it. But He spoke to conceal the truth from those who were indifferent to it or prejudiced against it. So there was a division among the people. He said to His disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." But He said, "Others have eyes and do not see." So their eyes and their eyes. He said, "Blessed are your ears, for they hear. But others have ears and do not hear and do not understand." So their ears and their ears. And so He spoke the parables to divide people. Up to this time, there was no question about what He said. His truth was direct and straightforward and immediate and plain. But at this point, He engages in a turn and begins to introduce an entirely new technique in His teaching. He begins to speak in parables. Now, I am astounded at how many people say Jesus was so very simple. So very simple. Well, yes and no. Jesus was the most profound intellect in the history of this world. And you can study these parables and they're like diamonds. You turn them over and over and over and over and over, and if you've got a valuable diamond, you could turn it over and over a dozen times in the sunlight and see some facet of truth that it fairly explodes to your gaze that you'd never seen before. Now, these parables are just exactly like that. He came to establish a system as well as to do something else. And it is based on man's understanding of God as it is revealed through Christ. And that is soundly based on all the teachings of Jesus, especially portrayed in the gospel and in the gospels and interpreted especially in the epistles, the teaching sections of the New Testament. And it requires a man who is so ragingly hungry for that truth that he will not be denied that truth before he will ever understand Jesus Christ. And that starts when his eyes are opened in the new birth. When all of a sudden except he be born again, he cannot see. And he now says, I see. I wonder where I've been all this time. I see that this is not the reality at all. This is temporary. It is passing. He is the reality, and that is the reality. And now I have been tuned into him, and I am hungry to find out more. And everything depends on that stance in an individual's mind and heart. And you can see this division taking place wherever you look today. Inside of churches, outside of churches, in nations, in civilizations, the world around, in individuals, you can see those two stances taking place, and everything depends on it. Now let me ask a third thing. What is a parable? What is a parable? A parable, well, the word itself, para, means alongside of. We get our English word parallel from that. Parallel, two things that are alongside of each other and adjacent to each other. Bole means to throw or to cast. A casting. So a parable is a casting alongside of two things. One that's there and the other you cast alongside it, and you're to look through the one, hopefully, to see into the other. Now, if you do not have perception, you will see only the one and you will not see the other. That's the reason the parable divides. For the person who has no perception, he hears the story and does not understand. Says masterpiece, short story, and they were. Just from the standpoint of literature, they are masterpieces. But he does not see the truth. And so Jesus kept spelling out parables so that the person who had understanding would look through the story, and because of the diligent search of his heart, which is a token of his hunger for God, God will disclose the second thing that is alongside. He will disclose the truth. The little girl's simple definition was perhaps the best. She said, a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And that's exactly what a parable is. Now, if you have a hungry heart, you'll see through the story and get the meaning. And it will explode in you, and you will explore it and expand it and grow in it. But if not, you will see the story and stop there. And then your eyes will be blinded by God himself to the truth. Because you do not have the capability by choice to understand it. So there is a division taking place. Jesus said there is a judgmental blindness upon the Jews beginning now in chapter 13. It will extend throughout this age to its end. And then God will turn the Jews around and restore them, because he is not through with them yet. We are in that time between those two things right now, known in the Bible as the times of the Gentiles. And Matthew chapter 13 is the most important single chapter in the Bible in understanding the frame of reference through which we are to interpret this age. Otherwise, Christians will say, oh, this is so discouraging. Poor God is losing. Poor Jesus is toppling off the throne. Don't you ever believe it. He is on schedule doing just exactly what he said here he would do. He gives you the option in that if your heart is hungry enough to humble yourself before God and get down where you belong, God will feed you forever on his truth. But if it is not, and you reject it, he will blind your eyes so that you will never, ever see another ray of light and have no chance. And when you get to the ultimate in that, that's the unpardonable sin. And when that takes place, you cannot discern truth. You'll confuse Satan with Christ, and good with evil, and bitter with sweet, and darkness with light. You'll see one and you'll think of the other, and you'll have no way to discern between them. And how many people there are inside our churches and out who are in exactly the same picture today. So what I'm talking about is desperately serious. Now, let's get back to our question. What is a parable? Let me give you a simple formula for a parable. A parable has three ingredients. Number one, you take a familiar truth. That's the first ingredient of a parable. Secondly, you weave a favorite story around that familiar truth. That's the second ingredient, a favorite story. And thirdly, you let in a flash of heavenly light through that story so that the person seeing the story can look through it and see the truth. Now, those are the three ingredients. A familiar truth, a favorite story, and a flash of heavenly light. And when you put those together, you have a parable. Now, at this point, Jesus began to talk in parables. And he gave seven of them in this chapter, all on one day. Now, they are divided, obviously, into two categories. He spoke four of them outside in the open air. And he spoke three of them inside. He went back into a house. Now the four outside.